The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It won't be long, only about 30 minutes of inspiration, some motivation, some education, and always without any type of manipulation, because we don't con people. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you for money. We simply want to give you some information that will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If I can do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. But that's up to you. You may be a new listener to The Flatline because we've added a lot of new radio stations recently. And I hope you are. I think we've added like 35 new stations in the last month. What a joy it is to be bringing this message across so many states across America. What a great honor and a great privilege God gives me to do this. Let me remind you of one thing. It's rickhughesministries.org. That's who you're listening to, Rick Hughes. You can find me at rickhughesministries.org. Our radio show is called The Flotline, F-L-O-T. And flot is a military term for forward line of troops. What we're going to teach you on this radio show is that you can have a main line of resistance in your soul to stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. Therefore, we'll tell you that adversity is always inevitable, yes, but stress is optional, because adversity is what circumstances do to you, but stress is what you, in fact, do to yourself. So if you learn what's on the flat line with 10 unique problem-solving devices that my pastor taught me years ago, then you can utilize these resources to stop this stress from coming into your life. In other words, there's a way to live that you don't have to worry. There's a way to live that you don't have to be bitter. There's a way to live that you don't have to be fearful. And that's by having a main line of resistance in your soul. I would like to tell you that we do podcast our radio show, and now we have over 2 million plays on the podcast. You can always find us on Apple iPod or Spotify or Podbean or some of the other podcast menus. Just type in The Flot Line, F-L-O-T, and you'll find podcast radio shows going back to 2019. And they're all there for you to listen to if you want to. You can also go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, and listen there as well. We have a new book coming out. I'd like to make it available to you. It's free of charge. It's called Family, An Enduring Legacy. Family, An Enduring Legacy. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you go to our website, you'll see all the many books we offer. But this is the newest one coming out, Family, An Enduring Legacy. And I hope that you will take advantage of that. If you do call and order something from our 800 line, which is 800-831-0718, 800-831-0718, please be sure you speak slowly and distinctly so that I can hear what you're saying and write the address down and get back in touch with you. Sometimes people leave hurried messages and I can't understand what they're saying, especially the street or the name. Okay? Now, what I want to do this radio show, this is show 1077. That's 1077 Sundays that we've been broadcasting the Flatline across the United States of America and in the Philippines. In this show, you're going to hear me refer to something called Bible doctrine. I know it's a term you're not used to hearing. You may hear me use a lot of terms you're not used to hearing. What we'd like to do is teach mechanics of the Christian life, how the Christian life works, and not just use cliches. Like if you just say, turn it over to Jesus, brother, well, what in the heck does that mean? What's the mechanics to do that? Let the Lord have it, brother. What does that mean? So what I want to do is use the mechanics and show you the mechanics of how the Christian life actually works so that you don't wind up doing all the right things in the wrong way. So in this particular show, you will hear me refer to Bible doctrine. You might think I'm referring to a list of beliefs that are often hung on the wall at the local church. That is not what I'm referring to. I am speaking of the whole content of Scripture found in the Holy Bible. Bible doctrine is the entire realm of God's truth presented in categories and concepts that define God, man, sin, salvation, the spiritual life, and even eschatology. As my pastor used to tell me years ago, doctrine is drawn from the content of the Holy Scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, and doctrine is the sum total of divine viewpoint of life, such as the doctrine of God, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of sin. It's a way that we can isolate these terms and put them where you can understand what it's referring to. But no believer can be effective as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ if you do not understand basic Bible doctrine, such as the doctrine of salvation or the doctrine of eternal security. So let's make this plain. Doctrinal orientation, which is what I'm talking about today, which is a definite problem-solving device, is you learning, thinking, and applying the doctrines of God, the doctrines of the Word of God, to your daily life. And those doctrines that you learn and apply become the basis for what's called the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3. Now let's give you a verse of Scripture that verifies this. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In this particular verse, we see the command for Timothy to study the things that Paul wrote in order that he not be embarrassed by teaching wrong doctrine. He was ordered to rightly divide the word of truth, not wrongly divide or teach it wrong. Religious division is caused by those who get Scripture mixed up and teach it incorrectly. Unfortunately, the Internet today is a fertile ground for Satan to mislead people. I see preachers coming on Facebook or Instagram all the time, and they have an agenda, and what they teach and what they say is not even close to what the Bible says. So it's very easy to get misled if you depend on these sort of people. But this is one very good reason why it's so necessary for you to have a well-qualified pastor so that you can understand what the Bible's talking about. This pastor needs to understand the original languages of Scripture. I mean, it wasn't written in English. It was written in Greek, Koine Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. So you're not going to grow spiritually if you're being fed false doctrine. And the Internet, as I said, is the garden of false doctrine, especially religious groups who try to deceive you by teaching false truth. Another great verse I'd like to quote for you is found in Peter's writing to the church. And this is in 2 Peter 3:18. "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Once again, we have a direct order not a suggestion. It's a direct order. Grow. There are different stages that Christians go through. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but when I first got saved, I was a baby Christian. I didn't know very much. And then you become, if you get a great pastor and you sit under the teaching of the Word of God and you start taking notes and learning, you move up to be an adolescent Christian, like a sophomore, and then eventually become a mature believer. What's the difference, you might ask? Well, the baby Christian is newly saved, and even though saved for years, sometimes they never grew spiritually, they never grew up spiritually. It's possible for you to be saved for 20 years and still be a baby Christian because you never grew up spiritually. You never learned any Bible doctrine. The adolescent Christian is a sophomore believer, but he's advancing, at least consistently, towards maturity. And that mature believer, he's the person that's built a flat line in his soul, and he's the person who's replicating the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you to consider this morning, which one of these are you? In 1 Corinthians 3:1-2, Paul wrote, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ Jesus, because I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now will you be able." In Hebrews 6:1, the writer of Hebrews, whoever it was, said, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." So you can be a baby Christian and might have been saved for many years. But the objective of the Christian life is to grow to be a mature believer so that you can replicate the thinking of Christ. A believer such as yourself or me with doctrinal orientation has what I call a built-in inventory of Scripture in his stream of consciousness, and he can recall the appropriate Bible doctrine when he needs to stand on his faith. You know, Satan's always seeking to minimize the importance of Bible doctrine to the believer so that he will be ineffective in his Christian service and fail in executing the plan of God. There are at least three ways that I can identify that Christians reject Bible doctrine. The first one is they refuse to hear the teaching of Bible doctrine on a consistent basis. They don't go to church, they don't listen, they don't hear, they don't take advantage of any place to get some good teaching. And so they refuse to learn, refuse to hear it. Second way that the believer rejects Bible doctrine is you hear it, but you don't apply it. You go to church, you hear the preacher teach something correct, and you leave and forget about it and don't apply it into your life. And thirdly, you believe the doctrine, but you don't recall it when you need it. Those are three ways you reject Bible doctrine. You refuse to hear it, you hear it, but you refuse to apply it, or you hear it, but you don't recall it when you need it. So the only way to understand and utilize Bible doctrine is to have a complete change in the way you think. You got to change your mind. And the Bible addresses that in Romans 12:2, where it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." And Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith." So the mature believer has to learn how to think, change his thinking. And that's what Bible doctrine does. When you learn the Word of God and you put it in the thinking of your soul, it changes the way you think. And you think in terms of fear and failure and worry and doubt. You think in terms of confidence and trust and faith. So in these verses that I quoted, Romans 12:2 and Romans 12:3, we find the doctrine of God's will for your life. You hear that? So that you can know what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We also find the doctrine of humility. Don't think of yourself more arrogant, more than you ought to think, but think humbly or soberly as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. That's in the second verse, Romans 12:3. So when a qualified pastor teaches line upon line, word upon word, precept upon precept, then he is able to identify the doctrine that God wants you to understand. For example, you know John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Well, in that one verse, we have the doctrine of God, the doctrine of love, the doctrine of the Son. There's three doctrines right there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, the doctrine of eternal life. So if you take John 3:16 and break it down, I could literally teach on that verse for a couple of months, just going through and picking out the doctrines. So learning by doctrine or by categories helps you recall these biblical principles when you need help or you need understanding. And the Christian life, as we talk about it, demands precisely correct procedure in order to bring maximum glorification to God. So learning the plan of God, the protocol plan of God, we call it, that's our first required task so we don't wind up doing all those right things but in a wrong way. The flatline in your soul's mentality is based on 10 specific Bible doctrines that will give you the ability to glorify God to the maximum. And each one of those 10 problem-solving devices represents a specific doctrine you must understand if you hope to grow to be a mature spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum, which I hope you will do. For example, problem-solving device number one is the doctrine of rebound. It's a rebound that teaches you how to recover from sin. You may call it something else. But it's when you sin, what do you do with it? Rebound is to recover from that sin. Maintain fellowship with God the Father. This doctrine of rebound, problem-solving device number one, is developed from 1 John 1:9 and also Psalm 32:4-5. It deals with confession of sin to God alone. According to 1 Peter 2, 5-9, all Christians are members of the royal priesthood. Thus, we can go directly to the throne of God and confess our personal sins. We do not, I repeat, we do not need someone else to go to God for us. We can go and confess our own sins since we are believer priests. And when we sin, we quench the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit according to Ephesians 4:30 and 1 Thessalonians 5:19. This act of individual rebellion breaks fellowship with God in time. It does not sever your relationship with God in eternity. But in other words, when you sin, you don't have to get saved again after every sin you commit. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples in John 13 when he washed the feet of the disciples. If it's true, and it is, that personal sin breaks fellowship with God by quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit, then it stands to reason that we must rebound or recover from our sin as soon as we realize our failures. Don't wait until you go to bed at night to confess a sin you committed early that morning. That just means you're going to live out of fellowship all day and sleep in fellowship all night, and that's just plain dumb. Without understanding the doctrine of rebound, you will never, ever be victorious in your daily walk with God. So let me give you a few principles to chew on here this morning. 1. Doctrinal orientation is based on Bible doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness of your soul. Your soul has mentality. Your soul has volition. Your soul has consciousness and self-consciousness. So when you learn the Word of God, you store it in the mentality of your soul, and hopefully it'll circulate there, so when you need it, you can call it up, if you learned it. And 2, the basis for understanding all information in regards to the spiritual life is obviously found in the Scripture. So there's no substitute for Bible doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness. 3, we can only learn and function with reference to God's will through knowledge of Bible doctrine. If you don't have some doctrine, you're not going to know what to do, how to live, what to say. 4, doctrinal orientation is based on a correct understanding of the inspiration of Scripture. Inspiration of Scripture, what does that mean? Well, 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 says, All Scripture is God-breathed, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be capable, equipped for every good work. 5, the doctrine of verbal plenary inspiration states this, that God so supernaturally directed the human writers of Scripture that without waiving their intelligence, their individuality, their personal feelings, their literary style, or any other human factor of expression, his complete and coherent message to mankind was recorded with perfect accuracy in the original languages of Scripture. Those very words bearing the authority of divine authorship. 6, doctrinal orientation is the problem-solving device applied to the problems of life. 7, in order to be a doctrinally oriented believer, one must not be only a hearer of the Word, but he also has to be a doer of the Word. The original Greek language, point 8, of the New Testament recognizes this difference between a hearer and a doer by using two different Greek words. The first Greek word is pronounced gnosis, and spelled G-N-O-S-I-S, and we get an English word from that called knowledge. The second word is epignosis, and they have a preposition epi with it, which means full knowledge. So there's a difference between knowledge and full knowledge. That's the way the Greeks defined it. 9, the doer of the Word is related to having a doctrinal orientation or metabolized Bible doctrine on the flat line of his soul, deployed and used. He's a doer, not just a hearer. 10, the hearer only is the believer that only has gnosis, knowledge. He heard it, he learned it, he understood it, but he didn't apply it. Thus, he operates on human viewpoint, not divine viewpoint. He operates on his own arrogance rather than on the spiritual skills taught in the Word of God. 11, gnosis is academic understanding of Bible doctrine without any application to your life. or to God, or to any other members of the human race. 12. A doer of the word, that's the one we're looking for, he makes accurate and correct application of Bible doctrine to his experience. And this action requires one simple word called faith. So an understanding of the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3, is in fact critical. So in conclusion, I need to ask you a couple of questions. How's your spiritual life going? By the way, we have a book that we've just printed this year. It's called The Christian Spiritual Life. I felt the need to get this book printed, and my team and I worked on it very hard. What does it mean to be a spiritual Christian? If you ask somebody that, how's your spiritual life going, they get weird looks. They may think you're talking about going to church, or are you tithing, or are you being faithful to attend Sunday school, do you sing in the choir? I'm talking about much more than that. The Christian spiritual life has to do with you being faithful in the Word of God, learning and applying the Word of God into your life, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and replicating the life of Christ. So being faithful in the ritual of church attendance, that's just half the battle. The other half is you applying what you're hearing, assuming that you're hearing anything at all. I don't know. That's up to you. So you got to hear correct information from a well-qualified pastor. Your spiritual life is lived in your soul's mentality, and it's followed by physical acts of obedience. And your evaluation time is coming in eternity future. What a shame it would be to discover that you wasted so much time in your life in pursuit of personal pleasure, and you get to heaven, you have nothing to show for all the time God gave you. So if you have no spiritual skills, that simply means you have no spiritual life. That's what we call a flawed believer, a person who was a hearer but not a doer, a person that had gnosis but did not convert it to epinosis. You do that by faith. When you hear the Word of God taught and you agree with it, that's only half the story. The other half is to apply what you heard and live by it. If you agree with it but you don't live by it, then you're just getting gnosis, not epinosis. Bible doctrine in your soul is epinosis Bible doctrine. It's the principles and the concepts taught in the Scripture that you learn and apply into your life and live by on a daily basis. It's critical that you understand this. You must understand what it means to take in the Word of God on a daily basis, or to learn Bible doctrine, or we can say learn the Scriptures. We can say it that way. I'm talking about the Scriptures. I'm talking about Bible doctrine. Not just a list of beliefs, not just the doctrines of your church, but everything that's in the Scripture. Everything. And when you break it down like that, when you put it into these concepts, you can start a notebook, for example. If I were in your church and teaching you a Bible class, I'd say, get a notebook. And if we went to John 3:16, I'd say, okay, now here's what we're going to do. For God so loved the world. Let's start off with the doctrine of God. Doctrine of God. What can you tell me about God? Remember, Jeremiah said, God said, this is what he said now. Jeremiah, I'm looking for people that not only know me, but people that understand me. It's possible that you know God, but you don't understand the God you know. If you don't understand the God you know, then you wind up doing right things, like going to church and tithing and whatever they request of you, but you do it in the wrong way. That means that you're quenching the Holy Spirit, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, you're doing right things, but you're doing them in the energy of the flesh. And those things done in the energy of the flesh do not glorify God. They simply wind up being burned at the evaluation throne in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and they're called wood, hay, and stubble. That's not what I want to happen to you. I want you to show up in heaven, and I want you to hear those terms, well done, my good and my faithful servant. How can you be well done if you don't understand doctrine? So, what do you understand about God? Do you understand that He's omnipotent, that He's omniscient, that He's omnipresent, that He's eternal life, that He's love, that He's justice, that He's righteousness? If we break all of those down and you get a good understanding of God, We could fill up a lot of pages in your notebook on just learning about the doctrine of God, the God you know, the God you love, the God you serve. And then God so loved the world, the doctrine of the world. What does that mean? The cosmos, the cosmic system. We know who the God of this world is. It's Satan, a.k.a. the devil himself. And we know this is not our home, the Bible teaches us. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. The Greek word being ouranos. Our eternal life is not here. It's in heaven. This will be destroyed. Peter says this earth is going to be burned up, done away with. So if you learn the doctrine of the world, we learn about what the world lures you, how it lures you, how you get attracted to the cosmic system, and how you can wind up in the cosmic vortex if you're not careful. All of this information, you know, the radio show, this is the way we do things. That's what the Flatline's about, to give you those 10 unique problem-solving devices, beginning with rebound, how to handle sin, and then beginning with the filling of the Holy Spirit, how to keep your old sin nature under control, and then the faith rest drill, how to live by faith, and then grace orientation, which we talked about last week, and doctrinal orientation, which we're talking about today. All of these fit into your life so that you can magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. Gee, I hope you're listening. Love to hear from you. I love getting your letters. Feel free to contact us at 800-831-0718. If you do, speak clearly and plainly so we can be in touch with you. Or you can go to our website, rickhughesministries.org. And there you can see the various books that we offer free of charge. So thank you for listening. If this is your first time, I hope you come back next Sunday, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. The next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be a long time, only 30 minutes, but a lot of inspiration, some motivation, some education. And as we say every day, no manipulation, because we don't con people. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to get you to join anything. We're not going to ask you to give up anything. We're just going to ask you to listen. Listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If I can do that, then obviously you have the freedom of choice to orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. But if you're a new listener to this morning's show, you may be, because we've added 35 different radio stations within the last month and a half. And I like it that we're growing, going towards the number 200 soon. I'd love to be able to say we have 200 stations across America playing this radio show. It's a real act of faith on our part, since we don't try to sell anything. So we trust the Lord. If He's in it, He'll honor it and He'll take care of the expenses. So if you're a new listener this morning, perhaps you've tuned into the brand new radio show which you've never heard before. And it is called the FLOT, F-L-O-T, the FLOT Line. This radio show addresses how you can have a wonderful life based on you learning some Christian problem-solving devices taught from the Word of God. And it's nothing new. It's not some fancy new invention. These are age-old Bible doctrinal principles that every Christian needs to know and understand if they want to stop the outside source of adversity before it creates stress on the inside. The word FLOT, F-L-O-T, is a military acronym. If you don't know what it stands for the Forward Line of Troops, F-L-O-T. And these 10 unique problem-solving devices that I'm going to talk to you about. They act sort of like a main line of resistance in your soul's mentality, so that they allow you to handle adversity without converting that into stress in your life. The biblical concept of this 10 problem-solving devices was first taught by my pastor, R.B. Thieme Jr., at Baraka Church in Houston, Texas. Reverend Thieme served as pastor for over 50 years at that church. And what I'm sharing with you is a lot of the information that I learned from him. So let's look at the first problem we face, the very first problem all of us face. It's taught in Hebrews 9, 27, 28. Maybe you didn't know you had a problem, but you do. Here it is. And as it is appointed to men once to die, but after that the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of the many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So, and as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. Each one of us has two appointments in eternity future. The first appointment we have is called the DOD, our day of departure. You know it as the word death. We know we can't escape our DOD or our day of departure, so it's coming sooner or later. The second is judgment. There will be a judgment. And this is a personal evaluation by God concerning your eternal status. The Christian is evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ, found in 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. If you've never read that, I wish you would read it, because it talks about how you can manufacture a lot of good works that do not honor God. They are simply called wood, hay, and stubble. This comes because you wind up doing right things, but in the wrong way. And that's in the energy of the flesh. Not manufactured, not produced by the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's just energy of the flesh, and it is no good. It does not honor God. And that will be kicked out or evaluated in 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. What you did good that did honor God, the right thing done in the right way, is called gold, silver, and precious stones. And that you'll be rewarded for. The non-Christian, I'm sorry to say, is evaluated at the great white throne of judgment. And this is explained to us in Revelation 20, verses 11 through verses 15. You do not want to be at the great white throne of judgment. But you will be at one of these two judgments. And the choice is yours to make. So I'm urging you right now to consider receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And today, not tomorrow, not later, not next week, today. Why do I emphasize that? Because you do not have a written contract guaranteeing you'll be here tomorrow. The wonderful thing is that your salvation and your deliverance from eternal damnation is absolutely free, a free gift. Free. I said free. It's a free gift, compliments of the grace of God, because of the work of Jesus Christ. How can I say it's free? Well, Romans says this in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, Romans 3:24, being justified freely, there's your word free, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross for us is he set us free from the slave market of sin. When we receive him as our Savior, we are justified in the eyes of God. We have equal righteousness. His righteousness is given to us. That's why it says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. When we have that righteousness of Christ, we are justified free. It didn't cost us, it cost him. He paid for it, not you and I. And verse 25 of Romans 3 says, God set forth Jesus Christ as a propitiation by his blood through faith, that's free again, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his patience, or forbearance, the word, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Wow. You can go to heaven. You can have eternal life. You can skip this great white throne of judgment in Revelation 20, 11 through 15 by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say you can't do it with a simple prayer. They come up with all sorts of things that you're supposed to do. But the Bible does say, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can do that. If you're ready to do that, you can simply say, Father, I admit I'm a sinner, and I'm willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's a simple prayer. The words are not important. It's the attitude of your heart that's important. If you believe that Christ is the anointed Son of God and you're willing to receive Him as your Savior, I suggest you pray that prayer. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I'm willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You might want to say, I believe He died for me and I accept His death, burial, and resurrection as my forgiveness for my sin. Your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on that Roman cross is in fact your guarantee of a personal sense of destiny concerning eternity. Personal sense of destiny concerning eternity. I want you to hear that word again, your personal sense of destiny. That's a problem-solving device. In 2 Peter 3:13, the Bible says, but according to His promises, we are looking forward to, that's a personal sense of destiny, new heavens and a new earth, in which perfect righteousness lives forever. In my case, I accepted Christ as my Savior in 1967. That should tell you how old I am. It happened after a chance encounter with an old high school cheerleader named Jane. We bumped into each other at a shopping mall, and even though we never dated in high school, I was too busy going steady with two other girls at the time. That's right, I was going steady with two at one time until they found out about it. They went to different schools. When they found out about it, I was in trouble. When I ran into Jane, I was trying to date Jane, and I was able to secure a date with her on one condition. She said I had to go to church. Well, I felt disconnected in church since I never attended any church. It was after the service was over, and Jane convinced me to go with her to a youth fellowship. It was there that I heard the gospel message and accepted Christ as my Savior. After that night, I began to tell my friends what had happened to me. And I also began to read the Bible given to me at that youth fellowship by Coach Frank McGoy, one of the coaches at the University of Alabama where I had played some freshman football a few years earlier. And Coach McCoy gave me a New Testament and said, you need to start reading this in the book of John, which I did. And as I started reading the Bible in the book of John, everything in there seemed like it was talking just about me. It seemed to have my name on it. And I had no idea what God did that night. I really didn't. I mean, I knew I'd gotten saved, and I went to bed that night. I had peace with God in my life. I slept like a baby because I knew that I'd been forgiven of my sin, but I didn't understand all of it. And I really had no idea what God had done that night, but after enrolling in Southeastern Bible College and meeting some mature believers, I began to understand that God had given me a spiritual gift. Today, it's known as the gift of evangelism. I am an evangelist. I'm not a pastor, teacher. I'm an evangelist. The destiny God designed for me was absolutely incredible. And my history looking back at it is incredible, too, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. Because after meeting my wife in 1966 at a college-age Bible study in Birmingham, Alabama, we married, had four wonderful children, and I started a ministry speaking to high schools across the country. And this ministry opportunity led me into hundreds of schools, predominantly private schools, since the public schools would not allow messages about God in their assemblies. And eventually, at the request of students, which was about 1969 to 2022, those are the years I spent traveling and speaking in schools, 1969 until 2022, added up. It's during these five-day assemblies, we called them spiritual emphasis weeks. The kids asked me to do this, and I started doing this. I used to do one assembly a day, or three assemblies a day, actually, one at 10, one at 1, and one at 2. But and they were all at different schools, but now I go to one school and stay 1 week. While this was going on in my life, the door opened up for a radio ministry. And that has now become my primary outreach. That started in 2005. We're now in 2026. And I currently host almost 180 radio shows every Sunday morning. The only way I could be effective in these opportunities was to be extremely accurate in my messages. When I was at the school speaking, that's the thing that the administrators liked. I didn't play with the emotions of the kids. I didn't try to get them to come forward and promise they would be good little kids. I gave them the truth. I taught them the Word of God. I taught them the mechanics to the Christian life. Same thing we do on the radio show. And the kids liked it because they knew what was right and what was wrong. They didn't need me to pump them up for Jesus. But thank goodness my pastor, Colonel Thiem, we called him in Baraka Church, he prepared me for these sort of times by teaching me exactly what I needed to know so that I would not mislead individuals, nor would I misrepresent. I said misrepresent. You hear that word? I would not misrepresent God's plan. I cannot begin to explain how relaxing it is to know that I have a personal sense of destiny. I have learned to trust God for the finances and not ask for offerings nor charge for books. I keep my eye on the goal and never look back or second guess God's plan. This confidence allows me not to be plagued by doubt or uncertainty about my future or my past. So the question I want to ask is, what about you? Do you have a personal sense of destiny? Do you know what God's plan is for your life? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? The believer who's advancing to spiritual maturity in his life will discover God's plan for their personal life, and they will take great confidence in fulfilling that plan. You may say, how do I advance? Well, I give you a little equation. The filling of the Holy Spirit plus GAP, G-A-P, which stands for Grace Apparatus for Perception, that's taking in the Bible, learning it, and applying it into your life, equals 10 PSD, 10 problem-solving devices. So FHS, filling of the Holy Spirit, plus GAP, Grace Apparatus for Perception, equals 10 problem-solving devices. And that's how you advance to spiritual maturity, one day at a time, learning, applying the Word of God into your life. You might be in your 70s, maybe in your 80s like me, and you may wonder, how could God use me? I'm too old. Well, I suggest the ministry of prayer is one way you could serve Him. People like me need a lot of prayer. I need the prayers and you need the practice. So pray for me. Pray for your family. Pray for your pastor. Pray for a lot of your country, your nation, your president. This is an incredible ministry of prayer that some people could have that aren't able to get out and do other things. You could write down a prayer list and start praying every day for whoever you wanted to pray for. Maybe you would have the gift of giving. That's a wonderful gift as well. And you are able to support the needs of your local church as well as missionaries who carry the gospel into the devil's world. One of the greatest principles of having a personal sense of destiny is that you finally learn to take responsibility for your own decisions. And I'm talking about the good ones and the bad ones. Once you understand your personal sense of destiny, what God designed you to do, what God wants you to be, then you will be able to identify the wrong priorities and stay out of self-absorption. And you can answer the question, then why exactly am I here? This is where a lot of people get sidetracked. They get these good ideas and good intentions, and they go down the my way highway. And they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they wind up wasting years doing stupid things that didn't pay off. There are serious things that will pay off. The filling of the Holy Spirit, plus the grace apparatus for perception, on a daily basis, learning, studying, and applying the Word of God into your life, gives you that personal sense of destiny. So once you understand that, you will be able to identify those wrong priorities in your life. Okay, let's give you some principles. One, a personal sense of destiny requires cognition. That's learning and applying. It requires cognition of the Word of God, pertinent to and understanding the protocol plan of God for the church. What do I mean by the protocol plan of God? I mean that God says things got to be done in the right way in the right time. A right thing done in the wrong way is wrong, and a right thing done in the right way is right. So So we live in the church age. We must understand the mystery doctrines of the church. You have something no one in the Old Testament had. You have Christ in you, living inside of you. And instead of going to a temple to worship, you are the temple. Let's listen to these verses. In Colossians 1:26, the mystery, there it is, the mystery which has been hidden from all ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is amazing. No one in the Old Testament had this. The Messiah living in them, Jesus Christ living in you. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, here's the thing about the temple. Don't you know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So you have the Lord Jesus Christ living in you. You have God the Holy Spirit living in you. And you have God the Father living in you. You're a member of the church, the royal family of God, the body of Christ, the bride. So part number two, a personal sense of destiny demands the function of at least three spiritual skills. You got to learn these. You got to use these. You got to understand how they work so that you can utilize the power of God and glorify God to the maximum. The first one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's problem-solving device number one on the flat line of your soul. Actually, number two, number one is rebound when you confess your sin. That's the problem with sin. And number two is the filling of the Holy Spirit rather than being controlled by your sin nature. So you got to understand when you're out of fellowship being controlled by your sin nature and when you're in fellowship being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing is you must have the Word of God circulating in your stream of consciousness. You must have learned and applied the Word in your soul, in your soul's mentality. And then you produce those flatline, those 10 problem-solving devices are produced on the flatline of your soul, so that you can stop the outside source of adversity before it becomes the inside source of stress in your life. You with me so far? Oh, good. All right, here we go. Three, a personal sense of destiny lives by the power and the provision of God rather than the foibles and the failures of the arrogant skills. Arrogant skills. Self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. The arrogant skills include a lust for power. And that's the motivations of the sin nature. So you can let your old sin nature get in control, and it'll work off of your arrogance. And you'll justify why you're right and the preacher's wrong, why you're right and your wife's wrong, why you're right and your children are wrong, why you're right and the government's wrong. And you'll be thinking that you're right all the time and everybody else is wrong. Four, our Lord Jesus Christ had a personal sense of destiny. He knew why he was here. He knew what he had to accomplish, and he did not react with anger or frustration to the shame of that cross that he had to endure. Five, if you have not established the Word of God as your highest priority in your life, then you will never have a personal sense of destiny. Because every time you succeed in the acquisition of any lust in your soul, any successful thing, any stimulation, it will just increase your unhappiness because it won't make you happy. Unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. To miss occupation with Christ, that's the last problem-solving device you can have, is to miss the greatest blessing that this life has to offer you. In order to grow up spiritually and develop that personal sense of destiny, you've got to make some decisions based on priorities. Not based on your passions, but on your priorities. I mean, many well-meaning Christians waste years following their passions, but have never made it to spiritual growth, maturity. They've never made growing up spiritually a priority in their life. I'm telling you, you can't know what God wants you to do at 15, 16, 17, 18. It takes a few years of learning and applying and growing before it becomes clear in your mind. So you have to take your time. God was in business before you got here. God will be in business when you're gone. He's not going to short-circuit himself. You just have to do the right thing so you don't wind up doing something goofy and think you're serving the Lord when you're just following some lust passion. In regards to personal relationship, it's your relationship with God the Father that must take priority in your life. If you do that, then everything else will stay in the proper perspective. Listen to what Paul said to the believers in Ephesus, talking about keeping things in perspective. Ephesians 5:16, see that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise or stupid, but understand what is the will of the Lord, what is the will of God. If you have a personal sense of destiny, it gives you the ability to handle the details in your life. Because it's the little things in your life that get you distracted from your spiritual advance. The prophet Jeremiah wrote about this when he said in Jeremiah 12:5, if you have run with footmen and they wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplains of the Jordan? A solemn warning to be being distracted but not having the right priorities. The AI Christian, not artificial intelligence, no, but arrogant plus ignorance. That's AI Christian, arrogant plus ignorance. He will never have what I'm speaking about because he will never have the humility needed to be obedient to God's instruction concerning the spiritual life. The instructions are found three words, study, grow, learn. Study, grow, learn. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Grow, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Learn, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Study, grow, learn. You will never be able to complete the Christian life and have the destiny God designed for you until you do that. So the personal sense of destiny is attained by using power option number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Having the execution of the protocol plan of God, by learning God's Word, applying God's Word, keeps us alive and protects us with a wall of fire so that we can have equal privilege and equal opportunity to attain a personal sense of destiny. Everybody has the choice. Some will make it, some won't. Some will advance to spiritual maturity, some will not. It goes back to your priorities. I know many believers who actually moved to a new city so they could get solid, sound Bible teaching at a local church. They moved there when they were in their 20s, and you know, some of them still live there today and they're in their 70s, serving God in that particular church. It was their destiny. So in conclusion, if you think the Word of God, then you will see clearly if you learn to think it. Put it in your mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. If you do that, you will see clearly what God's equipped you to do for His glory. Because He has a personal sense of destiny designed just for you. What He wants you to think, what He wants you to do, where He wants you to be. We wrote a book about it called Christian Problem Solving. All of these things that I talked to you today are in that book, those 10 problem-solving devices. They're all in that book. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call 800-831-0718, and we will provide the book for you free of charge. Or you can go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, and order the book from the website. We appreciate you listening. Appreciate you being with us today. Thank you for giving me a few minutes of your time, and I sure hope you'll come back next week, same time, same station, and we'll continue this study of some other things that are essential for you to execute the plan of God in your life. Did you learn something today? I hope you did. I hope you were challenged today. And I hope you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior if you haven't done it. Okay? So next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, host of the Flatline Radio Show, saying thank you for giving me a few moments of your time this morning.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by